No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome back to those that are joining us on their evening commute. We're going to get right into our series predictions with the Red Sox and the Guardians. So game one, we have James Paxton facing off against Shane Bieber. James Paxton, 1-1 with a 4.26 ERA, 27 strikeouts on the year, versus Shane Bieber, who's got a slightly better record, 4-3. Better ERA, 3.72, more strikeouts with 53, better pitcher just in general. Terry, who do you have in game one?
So I think this matchup is pretty interesting. Bieber's coming off his worst start of the season, got rocked by the Orioles, 7 earned runs over just 4 innings pitched. Anthony Santander took him deep. Bieber gave up 8 hits overall. However, in his last more not-so-recent bad outing, he gave up 5 earned runs at some point in early mid-May to the White Sox. He did rebound from that one very well against the Mets, gave up just 2 earned runs over 8 innings, one of his best starts of the year that happened to fall one of his worst. So there, you know, perhaps he can bounce back here. What makes this matchup interesting is Paxton's, you know, pitched fairly well outside of one start. And the Indians are still, much like the first time we faced them in April, one of the worst offenses in Major League Baseball. They're still a bottom 5 offense. They're dead last in home runs. They're dead last in runs batted in. Third or fourth to last in OPS. However, they still don't strike out a ton. Only the Washington Nationals have fewer strikeouts than the Guardians. So I'm not sure Paxton can rely on these guys chasing him, as much as the previous teams. So I'm actually going to give a very slight edge to the Red Sox here. With Paxton. And Bieber did, pitch fairly well against the Red Sox in April in that outing. Went 7 innings, just 2 earned runs. But the Red Sox need to make something happen here. And, you know, perhaps they can make some adjustments, compared to April. Slight edge to the Red Sox.
Cody.
This is a bummer. I feel like, you know, the way that the rotation's kind of lined up, getting Bieber lined up against Paxton is really unfortunate for the Red Sox here. I kind of like Paxton better than any of the other starters, sans McKenzie, who's kind of, you know, just had his first game back. But I got to give the edge to the Indians here. Terry took a lot of my talking points. Bieber touched us up pretty good when they played us back in April. Paxton is throwing the ball well. Cleveland's offense isn't as high powered as, say, some of the other ball clubs that we have faced. But, I don't think Bieber's the pitcher that this offense gets it going against, to say the least. You know, this team is in need of a slump bust, in need of, you know, that offensive explosion. I just don't see it being Bieber. And, you know, here's me hoping I'm wrong. But I think Cleveland takes the first game here.
Going third really is difficult with both of you two on the show, because you guys are really good at, I think, bringing up a lot of points that may not be mentioned or are the focal points. James Paxton going up against Shane Bieber hurts, because for all the reasons that you guys mentioned, you do kind of like James Paxton in relation to some of the other names. We just saw Brian Baio. Brian Baio is probably my favorite starter now that Chris Sale's gone down. Shane Bieber is one of the only pitchers in baseball that, even though he's kind of struggled this year and he's not averaging one strikeout per inning, he's still someone that can go six, seven, eight innings on a consistent basis. That's not something that we've been able to see yet from James Paxton. Granted, Paxton's only been here for a couple of starts. Shane Bieber has been a lock all year long for six innings. He has only not hit that six inning mark twice, really. And one of those was, a third of an inning, another by an inning, third of an inning by another. So really, this is someone who's going to get out there. He's going to throw over 100 pitches. He's going to strike some guys out again. Probably not as many, but this is not a lethal offense. Jose Ramirez, before this year, was arguably the best third baseman in all of baseball. He has yet to have his coming out party. This is the perfect opportunity for him to do so. And I think there's probably going to be some fireworks for him. I think this is going to be the time where, right in front of your home fans, Jose Ramirez has maybe one or two games of, a couple homers or something crazy like that. But I struggle real, real hard for this one. Bieber, game one. Game two, if I'm not mistaken, we have Cutter Crawford going up against, let me take a look. It's not Tyler.
Tanner.
It's Tanner. Tanner Bibby. Crawford's got a 1-2 record, 3.45 ERA, 33 strikeouts of the 95 whip, 0.95 whip. Bibby's got a 1-1 record, 3.2 ERA, 40 strikeouts of 1.12. We'll flip it around this time. Cody, who do you have going in game two, winning this one?
The optimist in me has to pick the Red Sox here, right? If not now, then when, right? Because we're going to go straight from the series into New York, and then, boy, that's a pretty ugly stretch for the squad there. This guy, not a lot of data on him on this season, but, he has put together a nice little stretch between the Mets, the Cardinals, and the Twins. Three runs or less in all of those starts, decent strikeouts, but something's got to shake loose. I don't know if it's going to be a change of the lineup, switching the order around, what be it, but this team's got to get going and, licking their wounds from this series and kind of, Tampa Bay North in Cleveland, we'll call it. I think this is when the offense has an opportunity to get back on track.
Terry.
I will. Bibby's a righty, so I'm not going to lie. I had no idea who this guy was until about 7 p.m. tonight. As Cody said, two runs or less with the exception of one start against Detroit. He got touched up with four earned runs there. Interestingly, Bibby seems to rack up the strikeouts. First start of the year, 8 strikeouts. Struck out 7 against the Anaheim Angels, struck out 9 of the St. Louis Cardinals, and then, recently 6 against Minnesota. So really impressive. I'm not surprised that he's kind of flown under the radar, unbeknownst to me, really paying much attention, because Cleveland is a pitching factory. I'm going to give the Guardians the slight edge over this. I don't think Cutter Crawford is as good as his numbers seem. I think, he's not typically a guy that's going to be painting the corners. And the Guardians, as I said, they have pretty good plate discipline. So I don't think this is a very good matchup for Crawford. So I'll take the Guardians in game two behind a strong pitcher performance in Bibby.
I got Cleveland winning game two as well. Bibby does not walk anyone, really, and he doesn't give up home runs. He's only given up 3 this entire year. He's only walked more than one guy in a game twice, and he's had more games where he doesn't walk anybody than games that he walked 2 or more. So if that doesn't tell you something you should be concerned about, this is a name we probably should know. Apologies, I thought it was Tyler. It is Tanner Bibby. I remember him actually getting added, or rostered, I should say. We shouldn't say added. Rostered in fantasy baseball earlier this year in our league. My cousin picked him up, and I did not know much about him, but, getting crushed all year in fantasy. you're going to pick up a couple names and learn a little bit about some of these newer guys. You're going to notice that some of the pitchers that were very well known for a really long time, they're starting to get old. Bibby's only 24 years old. This is going to be a name to remember for the future. And the Guardians have always been a team that has been able to do a lot with a little. And that's not to say lack of talent. It's just a little bit of money. And Bibby's a guy who's not getting paid a lot. I'm pretty sure he's still on his rookie contract, if I'm not mistaken. This is still year one. So he's doing fine. But I just struggle really hard to say that we're going to have someone that can do it, considering we have a guy that's pitched more than four innings twice against a guy who has pitched less than five innings one time. So there's that. And I think that in a league now where you need to be able to have consistent purpose pitches, you need to have consistent, you just need to have consistency. You're just not getting it from the Red Sox right now. And you are getting it from some of these starting pitchers for Cleveland. So Bibby game two. Game three, we have a TBD starting pitcher against Aaron Civale. So Civale 1-1 with a 2.4 ERA, 12 strikeouts, just came back after being on the injured list to start the season. Cody, who do you have winning game three?
Something about TBD's stuff just being elite and electric, right? Nah. I think Civale is the player that was infamously not taken out of or infamously started in the postseason against New York, right? Am I remembering that correctly? And he just looked very nervous from the jump. Clearly, he's figured those jitters out because this guy has been dealing this year. 2.04 ERA on over his last seven games, you know, 17 innings, 12 strikeouts, low earned runs. They kind of came all in that one game against Seattle there. Hard to pick the Red Sox right now, right? I think, you know, fresh off of a good week, we were picking the Red Sox to sweep Anaheim, and they promptly got swept, reverse curse, or whatever you want to call it. I got to think Cleveland takes this one as well. As much as it kills me to say, I like to try to be the ray of sunshine, a bright spot in what appears to be a very mid or middling team. I think Cleveland takes game three to take the series 2-1.
Terry.
I will agree with Cody. I don't love Aaron Civale, and I think his numbers are better than what they probably should be. And when our offense is hot, we should be able to tee off on a guy like Civale, but we're not hot right now. And we don't know who's going to be pitching. That should be Garrett Whitlock's start. Like that would be his turn through on normal rest, but I think they are wanting to save him for the New York series. And I think what happens here is contingent on game one. If I'm correct and the Red Sox win game one with Paxton, I think the Red Sox save Whitlock for the Yankees series. If we get off to a bad start in this series, I think they'll pitch Whitlock game three to salvage the series against Civale. Additionally, we have promoted, which is hilarious, Chris Murphy, who is having a god-awful year with the Worcester Woo Sox, an ERA close to 8 and a whip just under 2, I think a 1.96 whip. He could potentially be the starter for Game 3, in which case the Red Sox will... you know, the Guardians will mop the floor with us in that start. So we'll see. He could pitch out of the pen, hopefully in mop-up duty. A lot of mop references here. So we'll see. But nonetheless, I have the Guardians winning the series 2-1.
Well, I've called a sweep once this year. This will be the second one, and this one is not going for the Red Sox. Get the brooms out. Red Sox are going down 0-3. Civale has not given up a home run. He's only walked four guys in 17 two-thirds. He did not allow a run against Minnesota in a 1-0 loss. He did not allow a run against Seattle. Pitched 12 innings in those two games, allowed 6 hits, and struck out 7 guys, allowed 3 walks. His only blip was, again, against Seattle, 4 runs in 5 2/3, allowed 9 hits, did strike out a season high of 5. But against a TBD guy, you know, Terry brought up a couple points of depending on how we do in game 1, that's going to dictate who we see in game 3. I just don't think that we're going to have much luck in this series. I think we're going to see a very quick cascade of things to start to slow down and fall apart. Really sad. It's just unfortunately the way things are going. Cleveland is also 3.5 games out of first place in the AL Central. They're 5 games under 500. I think this is an opportunity for them to get within 2 games of being 500. Maybe Minnesota will, you know, lose 2 out of their next 3 and they make it a 1.5 game swing where they're right there. I mean, literally the AL Central, you have 2 teams that are really, really close to 500. Minnesota loses 2. Your leader in the AL Central has a 500 record, which is another joke. So unfortunately, I don't have much faith for the Red Sox in this series. We haven't been able to pick things up. Our superstar slugger is not doing his thing. We have way too many errors being committed, people going down. It's a mess. Anything else that you two gents wanted to add? We will hopefully have some better luck and some better attitudes in the third show because it's been brutal. But we hope you stay tuned for our next episode. Totally legit. We're calling the cops. Everyone have a great night. Take care.
Build a polished wardrobe that shows you stay you wherever you go with Mack Weldon. Use code MACK25 for 25% off your first order of $125 or more at MackWeldon.com.